Moncrief on News Talk.
So, are you serious about me? I can take it. Just be honest. I mean, I've overseen some of the biggest cases in the world. Hollywood, you name it. I can handle anything. Be a shame, though. Get my hopes up. But I'd work through it.
Yes, I'm serious about you.
Wait, as a friend, okay? As a friend.
Friends. With benefits.
Just friends.
Can I get you guys anything?
Yeah, I'll have an Americano, please.
Yeah.
I'll just have a tap water.
Sure.
You're not having anything?
I can't afford it.
I'll get it, just...
Oh, okay. Can I have a croissant, a flapjack, and a chocolate brownie, and a coffee?
Sure, what kind of coffee?
Decaf.
That was Baby Reindeer. You can stream the entire miniseries now on Netflix. James Dempsey joins us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon, Sean.
This is kind of, is there a bit of false advertising going on here? This is not a comedy.
It is definitely not a comedy. However, I will say the creator is a Scottish comedian named Richard Gadd. This is kind of an amalgamation of two different stage shows of his, one called Monkey See, Monkey Do, and the other, the titular Reindeer Baby. And with one of them, off the top of my head, I can't remember which one, I'll go with Reindeer Baby. He won sort of the best comedy prize at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival a few years ago, even though, you know, the laughs are thin on the ground. Now, that's not to say that there aren't any. This is definitely a comic drama, without a doubt, but like it veers much more into the dramatic side than it does its comedic side in terms of tone. But they're not divorced. You know, they are definitely going hand in hand here because there are plenty of laughs to be had. And certainly the humor is very, very dark and very, very, very black. But yeah, it's a bit of false advertising.
Yeah. So, and it's also a point out this is a true story. This actually happened to him.
Yeah, yes, exactly. You know, I actually think were it not for the pandemic, we'd have already known this because Richard Gadd, when he took the story to Edinburgh, he was, you know, it was a critical darling. And then he took it to the West End. And I think he was, you know, in a theatre there. And then the pandemic closed everything down. And 4 years later, we get it now on Netflix. But as you said, it is based on a true story. Ostensibly, it's kind of billed as a stalking show, a stalking drama. And there's no denying, you know, that's what we hear in the clip, the beginning of his relationship with Martha, his stalker. She's played by Jessica Gunning, who is a British actress with a great ability to sort of move around the UK in terms of her accents. The kind of only other thing I really knew her from was the movie Pride, where she plays one of the Welsh Welsh coal miners striking in, you know, and getting supported by the London gay community. And there she sounds like she's right from the Valleys. So she's really, really gifted. And here, you know, it's her Kathy Bates rather moment where she is playing a mentally unwell woman who latches on to our lead character. Now, Richard Gadd is playing a version of himself. This is based on a true story, but I mean, it is still a piece of TV. So a few changes have been made to the story to streamline it. He's playing Donnie rather than himself. And he's working in a pub in London while his comedy career is failing to take off because the kind of comedy he does is... not funny.
Yes, I did watch the first two episodes of this. He was the world's worst comedian, really.
Yeah, so it's a style of comedy known as anti-comedy, where it's deliberately supposed to be funny and it's supposed to be awkwardly hilarious. And somehow it manages the awkwardness without being too hilarious. But anyway, so he's working in this pub to make ends meet, and in walks this woman who I think we immediately get a sense of is a troubled character, and she sits in the pub, is very upset, and he just sort of offers to buy her a cup of tea because she can't afford anything. And I think he's, you know, he's a bit of a lost soul himself, so he sees in this woman a woman who's damaged, and he kind of just wants to be nice. And in doing so, He makes himself a sort of a victim of her stalking. And we learn over time that she is a very adept stalker. And there are constantly text messages and emails more so being written on screen in her voice, which is increasingly threatening and bizarre and uncomfortable and, you know, unpleasant to deal with. And all of that is done expertly. For me, I watched the whole thing in one sitting, right? There's about 8 episodes, I think. They're about half an hour each, so you can really zoom through them. And what I would say is, having a few water cooler moments about it today at my workplace, that everyone seems to say episode 4 is the one to get to. If you're unsure about this, if you get to episode 4, a lot of the plot moves on, and I would say it moves on much further away from the stalking than you would anticipate. Mm. So it explores much... it explores very, very, it goes in very, very unexpected places. And I will say, in fairness to Richard Gadd, he is a very strong actor. This is his story. His DNA is all over every part of this show. And he has come out with something that is absolutely kind of mesmerizing. But I can't say I liked it either. You know, like, it is the kind of closest comparison I would make is to the Michaela Cole I May Destroy You, which was out a few years ago. But at the same time, I think that is that's a more entertaining show than this. This is more... I just can't decide if I liked it or not. It is essential viewing to be part of the kind of cultural zeitgeist. It is a huge hit for Netflix all over the English speaking world anyway. But having worked my way through the whole thing, I found it uneasy. I found it tense. I found it very unpleasant at times in the subject matter. It's unflinching. It is raw. It is not something I think I'd want to see live for an inescapable 2-hour performance, but as a kind of 4-hour TV experience, I found it very brave, maybe, I guess, is what I'm looking for here. What I admired most about it without necessarily liking it is just how much Richard Gadd is willing to put of himself, warts and all, on screen. And if it is as close to the truth as he is indicating, you know, he doesn't necessarily come out of this as a great person either. So it really, really, really is unflinching in what it is like. But I just don't know if I liked it.
Yeah, okay. But that's the difference, because in Michaela Cole, you liked her. You'd like to go for a drink with her. If you went for a drink with Richard Gadd, you might spend the whole time going, but why didn't you do this? Why did you do that? But even in the first 2 episodes, I saw that it's already there are huge hints that this isn't just about this at all. It's about him and stuff that's going on within him.
And very much he would, the show makes clear that he makes choices about his stalking. And I'm not trying to blame the victim here. He said before immediately blaming the victim, but really I'm not, right? But he does make certain choices that perhaps aggravate the problem early on. And if you've seen that, I think you'll know what I'm referring to, right? But certainly what I will say is it is a masterclass of performance from Jessica Gunning, because, you know, it's like you could really go over the top in playing a stalker character with her own troubles. And certainly this is not like a pared back naturalistic cinema verite performance, right? Like it is... I mean, it is at times shocking and dangerous, and she flips very rapidly from kind of tone in a very mercurial, weird way. And all that is done really, really successfully.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, completely agree with that. Right. Our second show is called Feud, Capote versus the Swans. You can stream the entire season now on Disney Plus. Here's a clip.
Truman, what are you doing here?
Hey.
Axed from the Lollipop Guild too?
Slim. Ooh, mustn't scrub too hard, Big Mama. Lord knows you have such thin skin.
And you're positively transparent.
Isn't it fun to banter with an old friend who really knows how you tick? Must be so dreadfully boring being a woman alone at your age. I miss you, Slim. If I'm truthful, I miss Babe more, but...
Truthful? How about this for truth? I'm suing you for defamation. And if you want more legal woes, send Babe an invitation to your sorry little party. I dare you.
Slim, get real, dear. You were all immortalized by me. Admit you actually appreciate the...
You told more lies to hurt people than...
Who does that?
Never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
James, I was so looking forward, because when I even read about this beforehand, I thought, ooh, that's going to be great. It's going to be really bitchy and camp and nasty and colourful. And I haven't read one review that says it's any of those things.
Yeah, and I really loved Feud. So this is a follow-on to Feud Season 1, which is about Bette Davis and Joan Crawford making Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. And that was out a few years ago. That is a show that's still on Disney+. It gets better with every single episode. It finishes really, really strongly. And what works about it is it has these two grand dames of cinema, longtime enemies, working together on a shared project. Here, ultimately, my main issues are kind of structural, right? Maybe Americans are more familiar with the Swans than I was, but like, I really don't have a clue who any of them are. They were Babe Paley, played by Naomi Watts, who I think was a Vogue editor at some point. Diane Lane plays Slim Keith. I don't know who she is. Callista Flockhart plays Lee Radziwill, who was Jackie O's sister and I think mother of a real housewife later on, or grandmother perhaps. Chloe Sevigny plays CZ Guest. I don't know who any of these women are, except for that they are supposed to be really, really rich Manhattanites. Into that fold comes Truman Capote, played by Tom Hollander. He's obviously a very celebrated writer, a gay man living this flamboyant lifestyle in the 70s and 80s, when obviously that was much harder to do. And he writes this story about the women that is published posthumously as the novel Answered Prayers, but as a chapter in Esquire magazine. And in it, he basically tells their warts and alls from the various liquid lunches he's had with them over the years. And in doing so, they immediately ostracize him. Now, the problem with that is it happens in episode one, right? So, like, it happens immediately, and then we spend the next, you know, 8 or 9 episodes going back and forth in the timeline to learn about their relationship. But their feud is a cold war. I mean, it is not bitchy. It's not these, like, zingers. I mean, okay, we heard a few in the clip there, but they are few and far between. What I was hoping for here was this really camp, silly, but fun exploration of this gay man going to war with these super rich women in the 1970s and 80s and what might happen. Instead, we get this very, very ponderous, little maudlin, sad look at Truman Capote's downfall as he, you know, spurned his only friends, as he succumbs to serious alcoholism, a drug addiction, an abusive partner. And it's not fun, right? Like, I would actually argue Reindeer Baby is more fun, than this. And like, and here, you know, so the original feud was made by Ryan Murphy. And like, look, I'm hot and cold on him. Some things I like, some things I don't. Usually I think when he's constrained by the truth, he's much, much better. He's not so much involved in this. It's made by John Robin Bates, who is like a Pulitzer Prize winning or nominated playwright. It's based on a novel or a nonfiction book called Capote's Women. What it actually needed was some of that Murphy glitz and glamour and silliness, right? Like, it's too heavy-handed, and it just is, it's work, you know, like it's kind of, it goes on and on and on, and the bon mots are not coming, and I'm just sort of waiting for a bit of mirth or humor to be injected into it, and none of that happens. What it is beautiful. The period details are great. The production looks really nice. The sets are lovely. But if I have time to observe that, it usually means that, like, the plot is not that gripping either.
Yeah, you've drifted off and you're looking at the furniture. That's that's never a good sign. Is it the structure to a degree, in that they seem to have done it a lot in flashbacks?
Yeah, the structure for me doesn't work either because, yeah, as I said, the feud happens right away, episode one, when I don't really understand the relationship between these, you know, between Truman and the women, why they like him so much, why he values them so much. And then it hops forward and backward for the next 9 episodes, ending in a really, really weak ending on top of it all. It just, like, I felt like, look, it wasn't the show I wanted it to be, right? I wanted it to be this catty, mean-spirited Real Housewives of Martinis at Côte Basque, which is the restaurant where they're constantly going. And it wasn't that. Instead, it was this maudlin drama. And look, I can't give out to it for not being the show I wanted it to be, but I can give out to it for not being an entertaining show that it was. So yeah, that's ultimately my problem.
Yeah, fair enough. Right, our third show is Man Up? You can stream the entire series now on the RTE Player. Here's the clip.
Okay.
It's the old version.
This is the one we need.
Barbie!
Hi, Barbie.
Hi, Ken.
Try not to make it too funny, yeah?
Sure, Ken.
No, it's fine. This is a tune, lad.
I'm a Barbie girl.
in a Barbie world. Learn the plastic. It's fantastic. You can brush your hair and dressy everywhere. Imagination, life is your creation. Come on, Barbie, let's go Barbie.
I'm a Barbie girl
in a Barbie world. Barbie plastic. It's fantastic. You can brush my hair and dress me everywhere. Imagination, life is your creation.
All right.
Well, we're just getting started.
What do you think about? Why is it? All right, hold on.
Shush
for 1 minute.
It's a bit sauce.
Let's discuss. Why is it a bad song to you?
Girls.
Right, so is it just like teaching young fellas to play rugby?
It's really a bizarre show because it comes with this very, like, if you watch anything on the RT player, it is getting a lot of push on that. And it is hosted by Jordan Conroy, who is an international Olympian. He plays rugby sevens for Ireland. And I will say he was on the Late Late Show recently talking about how when he was a child growing up in Germany with his Irish mother, he was a victim of domestic violence and how he and his mother and his siblings escaped that. And that was, you know, he's a very interesting character. He is also like Ireland's unsung himbo, right? He is this like very, very nice, earnest guy with big chunky arms, and boy, does he show them off throughout this whole process. And this program is built about him working with 10, 12 to 14 year olds to understand what it means, what it is to be masculine in 2024. That's how they bill it. And all the ads are like, and throughout we get footage, pieces to camera of these boys who are all very entertaining in their own right, looking at camera, saying very bizarre things like boys can't cry, or these kind of very like rote sentences about masculinity, but no one ever investigates them. And then when they gather all the boys together, they're saying, okay, we're going to explore what it is to be a boy in Ireland in 2024 by playing rounders. And then they spend a week learning to play rounders. And I have to say, the unsung hero of the show is a rounders coach, Shane Sheridan, who seems to be running the show and teaching them everything. And then they learn various things. They have a Paralympian come in. They have a professional gamer come in, a ballroom dancer. Jordan Conroy was a finalist in Dancing in the Stars in his own right at one point. They go to a League of Ireland game. They go to a football game. They experience all of these very, very, very stereotypical sports. And then that is kind of all of the debate we get about manhood. We get a few kind of comments from Jordan about, you know, about dealing with anger or upset. And as we learn the stories of the boys throughout the show, they are entertaining and interesting, but they're unexplored. So I just sort of feel like this was an idea that they then just rushed out and didn't quite figure out how they were going to land it.
Yeah. This, because there seems to be a thing about that on various TV stations around the place. They're doing this kind of what does it mean to be a man, exploring masculinity. But for the no one seems to be actually they start making it and they think, well, actually, we don't know. So so they just kind of fudge over that particular issue. So there's no big conclusion at the end of this.
The big conclusion at the end of this is that, boys, when they come together, can lift themselves up. And that's all very charming. Watching them play this rugby game, like they're told day one, you're going to learn to play rounders. And basically in a week's time, you're going to play the All-Ireland champions of rounders, because rounders is actually included under the umbrella of GAA sports. Hmm. So these novices are going to line up against the All-Ireland champions, and they do so in Croke Park. And it is a very exciting moment for them. But is that what it means to be a modern boy in 2024? You know, I don't know, right? I honestly don't know, but the show was supposed to tell me. That was its mission statement. And for me, it didn't quite live up to it. Where it was at its absolute best is just in the candid moments it caught of the boys chatting amongst themselves about their lives, where they're sort of sitting waiting to do, you know, a bit of ballroom dancing or a bit of rounders training or whatever. Those little snippets of conversations are the most entertaining bit in the whole thing. And I will say, Jordan Conroy is a very game presenter. By that, like he gets on really well with the boys. He has a laugh with them. He's willing to give it his all. But at the end of it, have I come any closer to the answer, what is a man in 2024? What is a boy in 2024? No, I haven't.
Have you developed a newfound interest in rounders?
I can't say that either, really, but that's not really my thing.
Right. So those three shows are Baby Reindeer. You can stream the entire miniseries
on Netflix, Feud, Capote versus the Swans. You can stream the entire series now on Disney Plus. And Man Up, you can stream the entire series now on the RTE Player. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.